Upheaval, Breaking Point, Chapter 24, Royalty. Canterlot stood as Equestria's heart for centuries, a bustling hub of commerce and culture. Its white stone buildings and its carefully paved streets served as a model for other cities to follow. It was the home of Equestria's rulers, Celestia and Luna. Their beautiful palace, carved into the side of a magnificent cliff, saw to hundreds of visitors daily. Canterlot did not just serve as the heart of Equestria's economy and government. It also housed the Great College of Magical Arts and the Grand Library, making it the heart of Equestria's magic and learning as well. And the ponies of Canterlot were proud of their city. Some ponies, especially those who lived in the rural areas, would say that it was a pride bordering arrogance. Indeed, some of the nobility who resided in the city did their best to serve as testaments to those beliefs. But for the past few days, the proud city found itself under a very dark cloud. Now it was becoming the center of a slowly simmering unrest in Equestria. It had all started with the announcement of the banishment of Twilight Sparkle and her friends, a shock on many levels. Twilight Sparkle was Princess Celestia's student and confidant, the closest pony to Equestria's ruler for centuries, if not for all time. There were whispers that she was even closer to Princess Celestia than Princess Luna herself. There was also the mere idea of banishment, a punishment more befitting of an old mare's tale. Like Tales of Nightmare Moon, the threat of banishment was more used as a method to scare foals, and sometimes adults, into behaving than perceived as an actual threat. No pony has been actually banished since Princess Luna, and that was 1,000 years ago. Now, 6 banishments occurred in a single day. What kind of despicable crime had been committed that merited such a punishment? How could a pony so close to the princess be the one to commit such a thing? 5 days had passed since the news of banishment. On the streets, rumors were everywhere.
"It was a crime of arrogance, I tell you,"
a light blue pony with a white and blue mane told a few listeners.
"Twilight Sparkle was so proud of her magical power that she challenged Princess Celestia herself in an attempt to become Equestria's new ruler."
She reared up for effect, showing her wand and wisp of magic cutie mark. A few ponies nodded in response. In the absence of any actual news of what Twilight Sparkle had done, they resorted to theories and hearsay. An attempted dethroning would be plausible. Twilight Sparkle's crime had to be as despicable as what Princess Luna had done 1,000 years ago to merit a similar punishment. This was but one small incident in Canterlot. Indeed, throughout Equestria. Other theories circulated. The ever-studious Twilight Sparkle had delved into forbidden knowledge and had to be banished. Twilight Sparkle had transformed into a new Nightmare Moon that had to be banished. Princess Celestia was in a very bad mood and ran into an ill-timed prank by her faithful student. The stories differed with each pony and with each telling. Regardless of what story was heard or believed, the effect was telling on Equestria's population. Fear. In the space of a few days, banishment went from an old mare's tale to a very real threat. The Royal Guard had always been seen as a little intimidating with their golden barding and their stern demeanor, but now they were a fearful sight. Within the royal palace, the dark cloud that hung over Canterlot manifested at its strongest. Princess Celestia had begun holding audiences again, but the change in her demeanor was painfully obvious. No longer were petitioners greeted by a warm smile and a kind word that could make even the most frightened commoner tell his tale. Instead, they were faced with a princess who was only physically present. Her distracted gaze seemed to see things that no pony else could see, and her voice seemed to come from some place other than where she was standing. Despite the changes, Brightshield, Pegasus' captain of the Royal Guard, strove to continue his duty as if nothing had changed.
He was glad that the princess was, at least, up and about now. It was only recently that she didn't even leave her room, leaving the royal guard to turn away petitioner after petitioner. Now that news had spread that she had resumed her royal duties, the ponies that had been waiting restlessly outside were allowed to come to the throne room. Brightshield had taken it upon himself to keep the strain on the princess to a minimum. Ponies with problems he deemed small were kept outside. The guards had to deal with more than one petty noble who took umbrage over being passed over. When two nobles insisted on seeing the princess, Brightshield had them hurled outside the palace for their trouble. There was a particular sort of petitioner that he allowed in without any trouble, and these were the ponies that had come regarding the 6 ponies that had been banished. The 6 immediate families came first. Then, almost the entire population of Ponyville. There was also a horde of small animals, led by a particularly angry rabbit and a cat, some well-known clothes designers, and a couple of Pegasi from the famed Wonderbolts. Then there were the apples. Apple fritter, apple pie, apple tart. By the time Brightshield reached the end of that line, his stomach felt stuffed and he didn't even touch a single piece of food. All these ponies came for the same reason, to ask why the 6 had been banished and to request that they be forgiven and allowed to return home. The response from the princess was the same each time. Their crime cannot be spoken of, and it was up to them to return home. These ponies tried everything to change Princess Celestia's judgment. They recited litanies of praise for whichever pony they wanted back. They cried. Some actually volunteered to take their place or join them. None of these things worked, and today wasn't the first time they tried. They had been coming over almost immediately after the announcement had been made. Their efforts seemed to wear on Princess Celestia's fragile state, to the point that Brightshield wanted to chase them out. He did no such thing, however. It was not his place to decide where and when the princess's benevolence ended for these aggrieved ponies. There was only one time among those who petitioned for the new exiles that Brightshield felt that he had to take action. Some of the apples who had arrived were dragging a cartload of pastries behind them while they made their way to the throne room. Brightshield and his guards stopped them halfway through.
"What is the meaning of this?" he had asked. "Do you actually think you can bribe the princess with food? Is she some pet you can lure to the bars with treats? Make your pleas, but put those away."
He had expected the ponies to be a little intimidated and contrite. He hadn't counted on them cringing in fear at his reproachful words. He had to wonder how the palace's image could change so swiftly. As the day began to end, Brightshield remembered another situation. Princess Luna was missing again. The moon still rose in time, but the Princess of the Night was nowhere to be seen. He had dispatched guards to search for her, but Princess Celestia had them recalled. She knew where her younger sister was, and there was no need to waste the royal guard's time. One by one, the petitioners were forced to return home, empty-hoofed. Here was another unprecedented occurrence in Equestria. Never before had any pony come before Princess Celestia and returned home dejected.
"Hold it right there!"
Brightshield heard one of his guards call out. He hurried over to see what the commotion was about in time to see a couple of guards restraining a tall unicorn stallion, intent on forcing his way to the throne room.
"What's going on here?" Brightshield asked.
Before the guards could reply, the unicorn cried out.
"My name is Sungazer. It is extremely important that I see that princess."
"I'll be the judge of that," Brightshield muttered. "What is your business here?"
He looked closely at this Sungazer. The unicorn stallion had a bright yellow coat with a long, flowing, almost mare-like mane of orange. His eyes widened in surprise, however, when he focused on the Sungazer's flank. This unicorn had no cutie mark.
"What I have to say is for the princess only,"
Sungazer said between pants. He was sweating profusely and took deep and ragged breaths.
"Let me through. Her life is in danger as we speak."
Brightshield's bewilderment upon seeing a full-grown unicorn stallion without a cutie mark melted away like morning fog. Here was something he had never expected to hear. Since the day he was promoted to the job, he never held the illusion that he would one day stand between Princess Celestia and mortal danger. Protecting the princess was officially in the job description, but one that was never expected to actually be something that a god would do. Anything that could even remotely threaten Equestria's immortal ruler would plow through any squad of guards. His job was mostly ceremonial and administrative, giving the appearance that the princess was heavily guarded and dealing with lesser problems not worth the princess's time. That a matter that could threaten the princess's life would actually appear was hard to swallow. That some pony who wasn't even part of the guard would be the one to see and deal with it was likewise as difficult to accept. Still, Brightshield wasn't the one to take chances. Woe to this sungazer, however, if his urgent message turned out to be a waste of time.
"Let him through," he told the guards.
Sungazer broke past him as soon as the guards let go. The doors to the throne room opened, and Princess Celestia, who looked even worse than she did that morning, looked up.
"Brightshield, did I not say that audiences were over for today?"
Celestia asked. There was no displeasure in her tone, but Brightshield knelt penitently anyway.
"Forgive me, Your Highness," Brightshield said. "This unicorn is Sungazer, and he says that he has something urgent to tell you, something that would endanger your life."
Celestia leaned forward and quickly noticed what was strange about Sungazer.
"Where's your cutie mark, Sungazer?"
she asked.
"Your Highness, I come from a place where such things do not appear,"
Sungazer replied after bowing. Celestia's eyes widened at this answer. She immediately turned towards Brightshield.
"Leave us, Captain Brightshield," she said. "I will deal with this. Make sure that no pony so much as approaches this room while we talk."
"Understood, Your Highness," Brightshield said.
He left the throne room quickly and closed the doors behind him. He had his guards line the hallway just out of earshot of the throne room while he put himself in the middle of the hallway to make sure. Celestia stared at the pony before her. It was only a few minutes ago that she felt that some pony had broken through her barrier. Surprisingly, this one had arrived in the palace.
"You are from the Barrier Lands," she said. "Why and how have you come here? You know that you are forbidden to come to this realm, and that my brother will punish you with death for what you have done."
"Your Highness," Sungazer replied. "For Equestria's sake, I will risk even Prince Tirado's wrath. I came here through this."
He placed a large, dull gray sphere on the ground. Celestia easily recognized a mana battery. She was beginning to despise those objects. They had caused so much damage in such a short time.
"I stole this mana battery so I can warn you."
"What do you mean?" Celestia asked. "Warn me of what?"
"Your brother's plans. Your Highness, even as I speak, your brother's plan to overthrow you goes on. He has conspired with Princess Luna to acquire the Elements of Harmony so that he can storm your realm and banish you to the moon."
Silence fell upon the throne room. For a moment, Celestia simply stared at Sungazer in astonishment. It was as if his message was a bolt of lightning. The words had flashed before her, but their meaning was still rolling in.
"You're lying,"
she finally said. Sungazer looked up and quailed. Celestia could feel her legs tremble and knew that her face was not the sort she would show any petitioner.
"Your Highness," he said, "you're lying. Take back your lies or I will punish you myself."
Celestia's voice thundered across the room and reverberated through the walls.
"I do not lie, Your Highness,"
Sungazer said. His forelegs rose in supplication.
"Prince Tirado has allowed the Wolven to penetrate the north to force you to allow him to send troops through the Heartland. Once his ponies have entered your realm, he plans to attack you with the Elements of Harmony at his side and rule all of Equestria."
Celestia quivered and pressed her hoof against her head in a futile attempt to stem the tide of unwanted thoughts.
"Tirado and Luna are my beloved siblings," she said. "They would not turn on me like this." Your Highness, I beg your forgiveness for saying this, but...
Sungazer hesitated for a second before continuing.
Your sister has just recently returned from a millennium of exile. Your brother has been ruling the outskirts of Equestria for even longer than that. 1,000 years is a long time, even for immortals.
You know nothing of how my siblings and I perceive the centuries. The love between us is outside time, a constant that sustains us throughout our rule.
I cannot explain to you your siblings' motives, Your Highness, only what I have learned. Prince Terrado has planned this for a long time. He has convinced your sister to aid him, tricked her perhaps, and he has done the same with the Elements of Harmony. If his ruthless ambition is not stopped, he will bring all of Equestria under his hoof.
And why do you tell me this? Do you not serve my brother as well?
I belong to a small group of loyalists in the Barrier Lands, Your Highness. Sungazer said, his chest puffed up as he said this.
We, the Order of True Equestrians, consider ourselves ponies of Equestria, not just the Barrier Lands. Thus, we are loyal to Equestria's ruler above all else, not just the commander of its army.
What proof do you have of this treachery? I will not suspect my siblings on the word of a few ponies.
I carry no physical proof with me, Your Highness, Sungazer said.
Look upon the events of the past few days and see your brother's hoof in them. All my group has are the notes of what our spies have seen and heard. Nearly all of the Barrier Lands support your brother. If we had done more, we would have revealed ourselves, and we would all have been hanged for treason.
You want me to believe that my brother and my sister have turned upon me without any proof?
Yes. This is all we can offer, Your Highness. For your sake, for Equestria's sake, we have risked so much just so I can be sent here. Please, you must believe our warning.
I will confront Terrado about what you have said, Celestia said. If you are lying, I will hand you to his judgment. If you are telling the truth, then...
Her voice quivered.
Then I will take steps.
Celestia's horn glowed briefly, and the throne room's double doors swung open.
"Captain Brightshield!"
she called out. The Pegasus Guard captain trotted forward and knelt.
"Yes, Your Highness?" he asked.
"Take Sungazer to one of the guest rooms so he can rest," Celestia said. "Make sure that he's comfortable. He's not to leave his room or talk to any pony about anything, not even to you and your guards."
"Understood, Your Highness,"
Brightshield replied. He trotted over to Sungazer. With one last bow, the two of them left. Now by herself, Celestia closed her eyes tightly. She refused to believe a word of what Sungazer said, but scattered events began to piece together in her mind regardless of what she wanted to believe. There was the nameless unicorn who had succeeded in entering her realm centuries ago. She had sent out the Royal Guard to intercept him, but he had managed to escape. The guards reported that the unicorn had been severely wounded when they saw him and had used one final spell to disappear somewhere. Word of the Barrier Lands had not spread since that time, and she assumed that this poor pony had died of his wounds somewhere. This event would have been a mere isolated incident if Twilight Sparkle had not acquired a mana battery from what was presumably that unicorn's remains from what Spike had reported. Now suspicions began to rise. Was that unicorn really a fugitive, or had Terrado sent him on a suicide mission to bury a seed within the Heartland? A method for some pony within her realm to discover the Barrier Lands accidentally? The idea seemed far-fetched. The mana battery could have been consumed by some other spell. It could have simply destroyed an unskilled unicorn who triggered it, or it could have simply never been discovered. But Terrado had ages to wait. He could have also sent more triggers as time passed. Perhaps he already did. But there was also Twilight's failed memory block. She had received a trigger from some pony. Now, that some pony could well have been Terrado himself, secretly sabotaging his own spells to accidentally spread information about the Barrier Lands. There was also Luna's secret meeting with him. Her little sister's reasons were now suspect. Even now, Luna had gone over to the Barrier Lands to aid their brother. Was that orchestrated as well? Was everything going according to Terrado's wishes? The Wolven's recent success, Luna's departure, Twilight Sparkle's defiance. There were so many things happening at the same time. So many things that conspired to bring down everything she had tried to build. Were they all mere coincidences? I'm becoming paranoid, Celestia thought. Tirado is violent and ruthless, a source of concern since we founded Equestria. But he is still my brother, and he has sworn to defend Equestria, not take it over. What happened to Luna was 1,000 years ago. We've put that behind us. The three of us...
I am your defender.
Tirado's words repeated themselves in her mind. He had said those words often back when the barrier had not been raised. He sounded so confident each time, dramatic even. He loved being dramatic, and he loved showing off. It pained her to think that, all that time, it was all for show. How long could he have held a grudge? Did he seethe within his realm? Did he even feel worse than Luna? Her memories went back even farther.
I don't see why we have to watch over these short-lived mortal ponies, dearest sister. Their bodies are soft, their minds are weak, and their hearts are frail. What is the purpose of caring for them anyway? Whether they live joylessly or rise in pain, father and mother will get them in the end.
That was so long ago, around the time they decided to rule Equestria. Celestia remembered Tirado's hard expression softening when he shifted his gaze from the ponies that had been placed under their care to his older sister.
Personally, I'm not jumping for joy over it, but if it makes you happy, I will defend them.
And he did. Tirado hurled himself at their enemies with an almost reckless abandon that Celestia could barely understand. It wasn't long before the influence of all those battles on him concerned her. Not only that, he was sharing that influence with Luna. Ultimately, she had to make a decision. I agreed because Big Brother agreed, and he agreed because he'll agree to anything you say. Luna's words had hit Celestia hard. They took away support that she had thought she had throughout the centuries. Sungazer's words began to make sense. Perhaps 1,000 years were long enough even for her immortal siblings. Worse, perhaps she never even knew them as well as she thought she did from the start. The royal palace felt large and empty to Celestia. Not just the palace as well. It seemed that all of Equestria felt empty. A terrible, crushing loneliness weighed down on her. What if it was true? What if her dear siblings and her faithful student had all turned on her? She laid her head down on the cold stone floor. She was all alone here in the Heartland, reigning over her little ponies by herself. To stave off the horrible feeling, Celestia hardened her resolve once more. She was going to hear this from Tirado himself. If he had indeed decided to betray her, she would face him head on instead of closing her eyes and waiting for the end. Perhaps it was time for her to see what has been happening in the Barrier Lands herself. But what if Tirado had been waiting for such a move from her? Had he prepared a trap? Was she caged within her realm without even realizing it? A new emotion joined her crushing loneliness. Fear. She had associated fear with Tirado for a long time now. Fear of what he had to go through. Fear of what he was turning into. However, this was the first time she actually feared him. Her brother could be watching her realm this very instant. He had all the weapons he needed, and he could attack at his leisure. Celestia stood up. She was going to have to confront her siblings, but steps had to be taken first.